This morning, as we dive into God's Word, I want to remind us and encourage us that we are in the midst of a time when there's chaos swirling and a great need for the followers of Christ to be hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit and to be empowered and be guided by the Spirit of God. So pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your rescue of us, and then your promise to be with us, and your promise to send us the Helper to guide us and lead us and empower us. We pray, Lord, that these scriptures we read and look into today would guide us ever deeper into your truth, and then, Lord, that you would empower us to live out your plan for our daily existence on this planet until the day you take us to be with you forever. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, I invite you to look along with me in your scriptures. The gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And it's after Jesus had gone into the wilderness. This devil had tempted him, and Jesus successfully fended off the devil's attacks by the quoting of Scripture. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 21, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And began to say to them, 'Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" In other words, Jesus was saying, this scripture written 700 years ago by the prophet Isaiah as the Spirit inspired him is actually about me, Jesus. And at first, as you go on in the text, it says people were quite pleased with what they were seeing in him and complimentary. But then a little further down in the chapter, you see that their mood changed when they realized the extent of what he was claiming, and they tried to kill him and throw him off the brow of a hill. But Jesus was saying that he was here on earth to minister under the empowerment of the anointing of the Spirit. He returned from his temptation, it says at the beginning of this section, in the power of the Spirit. And then he quotes the reading from Isaiah where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and he has anointed me." In other words, those are both kind of the same thing. The Spirit coming upon and the anointing, which is a symbol of the oil being applied, both are saying the same thing. So there's a double anointing he's being describing here. And it's an anointing and an empowerment to proclaim good news. The world needs good news. There are so many hurting people. There are so many confused people. There are so many people that don't know which way to go and really which way is right. And God is the one who brings good news. Truth about God. Truth about our condition. Truth about his solution to our condition. Jesus brings good news to the poor, it says, to those who have need, those who are desperate. He has sent me to proclaim liberty, which means freedom, the release to those who are captive. Captive to what? Captive to their own addictions, captive to their own lies, captive to their own misunderstandings, captive to the world's systems, and captive to the devil's schemes. Jesus came under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to release captives and to bring sight to the blind, recovery of sight. Now, I read this and I think, well, that's a great physical thing that some of us could really benefit from. But there's also a spiritual dimension here, and primarily it's about seeing God correctly, seeing God's power, seeing God's truth, seeing God's ability, and seeing God's plan. Jesus is the one that comes and allows people to see what God is offering in terms of a way of escape from all that has oppressed them. And he ends by saying, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord God Almighty is a God who wants to bring blessing, is a God who wants to bestow his love upon us, is a God who wants to bring rescue? So this is a year of the Lord's favor. God is favoring us with an opportunity to respond to him. God is favoring us with an ability to understand his truth and hear from his Spirit. So as Jesus launched his ministry, he was initiating a new day of activity on the earth, of the Spirit of God working to bring people into connection with him. And you and me, all of us together, are now living in this time of God's favor, in this time of God's pouring out of his Spirit to bring release, to bring freedom, to bring liberty, to bring understanding, to bring people into an encounter with God. In other words, there's great hope. In other words, we can be people of great joy. People of great joy. One of the things I was thinking about this week is about the different roles of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. One of the things that he is capable of doing, wants to do in each and every one of us, is to bring us into an experience of the joy of the Lord. How many could use a little joy dose today? Paul wrote in Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's Romans 14:17. In other words, when we think about what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be a person who lives in the kingdom of God, it's saying that the kingdom of God is not about rituals, not about whether you eat the right things or drink the right things. It's all about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, righteousness is that which is right, that which God has said, this is right. And we want to be people who participate in that rightness and walk out that rightness. But also it's peace. It's a removal of anxiety. Fear not. Fear not. He said 365 times in the Bible, I've been told. Fear not. What's the opposite of fear? It's peace. It's the shalom of God, the wholeness of God and the wellness of God. God wants you and I to experience peace. And it comes, just like righteousness comes, peace also comes by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the third one is joy. Joy. The Holy Spirit brings joy. We can have joy as the Holy Spirit enables us to see things from God's perspective. As we can have joy as the Holy Spirit enables us to recognize that those circumstances don't dictate all that we are to experience in life and in the future. We can have joy by the Holy Spirit when we recognize that God is in control and is sovereign regardless of what's swirling around us. We can have joy in the Holy Spirit as we recognize that our salvation belongs to him and he's the one that controls it and assures it. We can have joy even in times of great difficulty. In fact, that's what Paul said in his letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, "And you, Thessalonians, became imitators of us," Paul and the other leaders of the church, "and of the Lord. For you received the word, the truth of God, the good news of the gospel. You received the word in much affliction. It was a time of great struggle for them. There was hardship, there was oppression, there was resistance to the work of God in that community. But Paul writes, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, these Thessalonians had joy even though they were being harassed, even though they were being oppressed, even though there was great resistance to them becoming followers of Jesus. They had joy. Joy comes through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So if you need joy, the thing to say is, God, by the power of your Spirit, give me supernatural joy. When you have joy, you can see things from God's perspective. Psalm 22 tells us that the Lord inhabits our praises. What a promise. The Lord inhabits our praises. So when we're looking to God, when we're choosing to say, God, I praise you for who you are. I praise you for what you've done. I praise you even for the things I'm going through, whether they're good or bad, whether it's a time of joy or a time of sorrow. I'm going to, in the midst of this situation, praise you. And as we praise God, we encounter God. There's something that happens in the spiritual realm when we look towards heaven, when we declare God's goodness, when we affirm that He is in control, and we pour out our praise to Him, that brings us into a fresh encounter with God. It says that He inhabits our praises. In other words, there's a closeness that takes place. There's an encountering God in a deeper way as we praise Him. God inhabits our praises. I heard a pastor say, if God inhabits our praises, then who inhabits our complaints? If our praising brings us into a fresh encounter with God, what does our complaining do? Who does our complaining bring us into an encounter with? I don't know how that hits you, but when I heard that a couple weeks ago, it just hit me really hard. Because I know how easy it is to become a complainer. And as I complain, I'm having an encounter. But it's not with God, because He inhabits my praises. If I'm complaining, I'm having an encounter with someone other than God. In other words, I might very well be opening myself up to the one who wants to increase my complaining, who wants to increase my observance of and my awareness of the difficulties, the one who wants to bring oppression, and the one who wants to bring deception, the one who wants to bring me into a doom and gloom perspective on life. If I want to increase my depression, then I want to increase my complaining, because my complaining brings me into a fresh encounter, not with the God of heaven, but with the Lord of the underworld. If I want to be free from all that's depressing and all that's discouraging, I want to take my eyes off the chaos that the enemy is sowing, and I want to look up towards heaven, see the goodness of God, and be choosing to exercise my will to praise God. As I praise God, God inhabits my praises, and I encounter Him. The Holy Spirit brings joy. We all need more joy. True joy. Joy that comes from God. You see, I really believe that God wants this season to bring us into a fresh encounter with Him, with His joy, with His truth, with His power. So our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I invite you to turn there with me, and I'm going to read even more than what's listed in the bulletin. We'll look at the beginning of the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I want you to see that God is going to be doing something just like He did for them. He's going to be doing something in us that brings us into a fresh encounter with Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Paul says, and I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I say it again. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So this first paragraph is reminding us that Paul came not as the most powerful human orator, not with persuasive speech or wisdom that wowed them, that was of the world, but rather he came in humility and in weakness, proclaiming the truth of God. And as he proclaimed the truth of God, it resulted in a demonstration of the Spirit of God and of the power of the Spirit. So that as these people saw it, heard it, responded to it, their faith was not in men or mankind's wisdom, but in God and God's power and in the truth of the Spirit. This is a line of demarcation within the American church. There are those within American Christianity that are so caught up in worldly wisdom and oratory skill or things that stir up emotions. But the true followers of Christ are listening to the Spirit of God and encountering the power of God, growing in the wisdom of God. Continuing on, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting at verse 6 now. Yet among the mature, he says, we do impart wisdom. Although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. This is the wisdom that Paul came to proclaim to the Corinthians, and that Paul is proclaiming by the power of the Spirit through writing all this down to pass on to us. Wisdom from God. He says we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. In other words, people, we are invited to experience something the world can't. We are invited to perceive something the world can never see. We are invited to participate in something that worldly people, unsaved people, cannot ever fully grasp. We are invited into this thing that brings glory, this thing that God has done, that God has opened up to us. It's the impartation of secret and hidden wisdom of God. Where are you going to find that? You're not going to find it watching the secular news. You're not going to find it watching the secular programming. You're not going to find it listening to the secular podcasts. This secret and hidden wisdom of God comes by the empowerment of the illumination of the Holy Spirit. As we look into the truth of God's Word and we invite Him to open it up to us. It's beyond what any eye could really see, or what any ear could really hear, or what any heart of man could ever imagine in the natural realm. It is what God has prepared only for those who love Him. And as I look around, I see people who God loves. And God is wanting you, the ones He loves, God's beloved ones, He's wanting you to see Him more, to hear Him more, to perceive Him more, to grasp this truth and this wisdom that is so glorious. That's about Him and His goodness and His power, and about His plan for you to be working in you, to bring you into a deeper encounter with Him. It's wisdom from God that the world could never have, but God has for you. Reading on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, now at verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. The Spirit of God has been given to the people of God, the people God loves, so that the people that God loves could understand the truth of God, could understand what God has given us, can understand what God is inviting us into in terms of reception and in times of intimacy with Him and in terms of empowerment by Him to live this life successfully now, that brings Him glory, and that we might be prepared for eternity with Him. See, flesh and blood cannot inherit eternity. We need to be changed. And God is in the process of changing you now to prepare you for His eternal presence. What you started out as is not enough to enter into His eternal presence. God's doing a transforming work in us physically and spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, so that we are more able to perceive Him, hear Him, walk in a relationship with Him, exercising His empowerment on this planet now. The kingdom of God is breaking forth in us and around us as we live it out. Now that ought to bring joy. Because we aren't just carnal, fleshly, worldly, natural people. When God takes up residence inside of us, when He gives us the gift of faith, He transforms us, He breathes His life into us, He fills us with His very self, His Spirit, so that we are now spiritual people, walking out a physical existence, extending the very spiritual realities, the great deep wisdoms of God, wherever we go. We become God's agents on the planet, extenders of God's kingdom. And the enemy hates it. And the enemy does everything he can to discourage us, and everything he can to put our sights down low and onto the troubles. But God keeps inviting us to be lifted up in our perspective, to see Him face to face, to receive His instructions moment by moment, and to be guided by the empowerment of the Spirit, to live as supernatural beings, spiritually born beings. These things God revealed to us by His Spirit, and they are spiritually understood, spiritually discerned. The sad news is that Paul goes on in chapter 3 to describe the difficulties he's having with the Corinthians because they are not truly walking this out. They are keeping their sights down low. They are being discouraged. They are walking as though they are mere people of flesh. He calls them infants in Christ who only can receive milk and not solid food, not the deep truths of Scripture. They're not ready for the deep stuff. They don't understand the real mysteries of God yet. They are still walking in the flesh. He goes on to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in human ways? In other words, Satan was at work in their midst. And Satan wants to do the same thing for us. And so when you read about how Satan attacked the Corinthians, you want to say, is he trying to do that amongst us? Is he trying to create jealousy and strife amongst us so that we're behaving like mere fleshly people and not spiritually born people, so that we're listening to the ways of the world and not the ways of the Spirit? We are invited to live in a time of calamity and a time of strife and a time of confusion as children of the light, as children of the truth, as children empowered by the Spirit. And this is such a unique time in our culture because it's moving towards two horrible things. An election where lies are being propagated and the celebration of death and darkness on the thing called Halloween, which our culture so elevates. In other words, it's a time where followers of Christ need to be constantly listening to the voice of Christ, seeking the guidance of the Spirit of Christ, being empowered by the Spirit of Christ to live above the fray and to be living out the joy of their salvation. This is a time for the church to be very optimistic because we have such a powerful God. This is a time for followers of Christ to be rejoicing because they know that God inhabits their praises. This is a time of encouragement to dig deep into the Scriptures so we can find those hidden truths that God has revealed to His people that He loves. Because this is a time when the church can be extending the kingdom of God. Not a time for sitting back. It's not a time for checking out. It's not a time for wringing our hands and saying, woe is us. It's a time for, like the Thessalonians, to be saying that even in the midst of affliction, we're going to receive the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit of joy. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to grasp and grab a hold of all that God has for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your plan is to save us through the death of Christ on the cross and then to guide us and sanctify us by the indwelling presence of Your Spirit. We ask that You would continue to reveal to us by the Holy Spirit Your plan, Your truth, Your love, and give us an extra large dose today of Your Holy Spirit. We don't want a daily recommended dose, Lord. We want multiple day dose of Your Holy Spirit's joy in us today. We want to be guided by, empowered by, living out the enablement of Your Spirit moment by moment. Living above the fray, living above the chaos, living above the lies as we seek Your face and Your truth and then are empowered by You to let shine through us to our family, to our friends, to our community. Use us as influences in this culture. Use us as light and as salt, as those who walk in true spiritual joy of salvation amongst the people so in need of a touch from You. Thank You for giving us a privilege of living out Your truth this day. We pray in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.